Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association with Olay.com, the football community website. I was just writing down what's going to be on this Arscast, and I thought there wasn't very much, but there appears to be quite a bit. Between now and the end, we will have a blog chat with Gunnar Holick from GunnarHolick.com, in which we discuss various things. I'll tell you more about that a bit later. The man in the bar is here. He's got a player history. Arsene Wenger Hawkins is here. We've also got an interview regarding Carlos Vela with a journalist called Carlos Ducado from the Osasuna Sentinel. The winner of the Savile Rogue scarf will be announced a bit later on, and there'll probably be some other bits and pieces in there as well, I think. Wine of the week this week is red, and that's about all we know about it. But red is a lucky colour for Arsenal fans, you see, and I'll tell you why. I was at a casino on Saturday night at a friend's stag party, and had about €5 in change, which I put on a roulette chip and bet €5, and eventually I'd gotten up. I was up to about 45, 50 euros. And seeing red or black, I think, I'll just have one last go at it. And I'll put it on red, because red is a lucky colour for Arsenal fans. Put it all on red, and you know what? It lost. Bastard thing. I lost everything. Everything. I could have spent all that money on booze, you know. It's a bit upsetting, but never mind. Since the last Arscast, what's been happening? Well, we beat Wigan at the weekend, leaving it very late. But late is better than never at all, I suppose. A great first goal from William Gallas, who is doing the stuff on the pitch this season, along with the stuff he's doing with his mouth. He's doing it with his feet as well, and it's really good to see. Second goal from Thomas Rosicki, who may need to step his game up a little bit if Leb is out, and if Cesc is going to be out for a few days. And Rosicki is probably the most creative midfielder we have left, so maybe there'll be a bit of an onus on him. The goal will do him a lot of good. Midweek, obviously, was the 3-1 defeat to Sevilla, which I only saw the first half hour of live, and I thought we did all right up until the point they scored. And then after that, I believe it just wasn't great. The first goal, obviously, questions over Philippe Senderos and Gilberto. Second goal was a really fantastic header, but nobody was marking Fabiano. And the third goal, I don't know, didn't look like a penalty, but then I don't suppose it really made that much difference at the end of the day. Some criticisms of Senderos and the defence after the game. We'll address those in the blog chat with Mr. Gunnar Holick in a couple of minutes' time. Now, that was the first defeat since April, and all along everybody's been saying, you know, we'll see how this team does when they lose a game. I think they've surprised pretty much everybody, from the people who had serious doubts to the people who had a little bit of faith to the people who had total faith even. I think everybody's a little bit surprised at how good the start to the season has been. It's been tremendously enjoyable, and now this is the first little bit of a setback. It's only a 3-1 defeat away from home in a game which wasn't that crucial, but we'll see how they react and see if the pride has been stung a little bit and they want to get themselves back on track quickly and prove that one defeat isn't going to knock this team out of its stride. In terms of the group in Europe, there's still every chance we can finish top. It is out of our hands, of course. If Sevilla beat Slavia Prague, then they're going to finish top of the group. If they fail to beat Slavia Prague, though, we will finish top of the group, provided we beat Steaua Bucharest at home. So you'd have to think the latter part of that was quite achievable. And Slavia Prague are strong at home. I don't think anybody's beaten them in, I don't know how long. We only drew 0-0, and they'll be playing for pride as well against Sevilla. So we'll see what happens. Either way, you're going to face a fairly decent team. And it doesn't always work out the way you might want. If you remember, the year we got to the final, we faced Real Madrid in the second round, the first knockout round, having finished top of our group. So there's not always that advantage. And last year we had PSV, which everybody would have assumed to be a much easier game than Real Madrid. So I think the point is, que sera, sera, and all that. We'll just have to take it as it comes. Now then, it's time to welcome a new blog chatter to the blog chat on the Arscast from GunnarHolick.com. It is Gunnar Holick, in which we discuss the defeat to Sevilla, Philippe Senderos and the reaction to his performance, and maybe Arsene's priorities, and a look ahead to the league games against Aston Villa and Newcastle. So here it is. Right now in the Arscast, it's time for the blog chat and a brand new blog chatter. It is Gunnar Hollick from GunnarHollick.com. Hello to you.
Hello there, blogs. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Now, Gunnar Hollick, is that, you know, a cross between Gunnar and alcoholic or Monster Munchaholic? Or...
Yeah, it started pretty much as being addicted to Arsenal, but it's developed from there, as I'm sure you can imagine.
So you've developed a drinking problem during the course of having your blog.
The problem is maybe putting it strong, but I'll enjoy a Guinness or two before the game, yes.
Who doesn't? Right, let's look at the Sevilla game. And it's the first time we've lost since April. And understandably, some people were, you know, unhappy. Nobody likes to lose. But it really wasn't the end of the world, was it?
Well, I don't think so. And I kind of made a point in my blog that when you've been around for a long time, losing a game to undoubtedly the other best team in the group, particularly with the side that we took out there, wasn't the greatest disaster. When you consider what's coming up in December, I think he had to start perhaps rotating is the word of the moment, isn't it? Rotating the side. And all right, we probably got the result we deserved in the end. We kind of committed suicide, but it wasn't the worst thing to happen, and I don't think it's going to have any lasting effect on the coming weeks. I hope not, anyway.
No, okay. Based on the team that he picked for not only the Sevilla game but the Slavia Prague game, do you think it would be a fair assumption that Arsene's priority this season is the Premier League? It would be nice, let's say, to go far in the Champions League. Having finished in fourth place the last couple of seasons, he wants to do better domestically than in Europe.
Absolutely. It's his priority. Once he's won the first four games, or he's won the first three games, and he knows they're pretty much guaranteed going through, I don't think he's that concerned about whether it's going through as winners or runners-up. Just getting through, getting Europe out of the way as early as he could, was probably at the forefront of his mind so that they can concentrate on the Premier League. Because we know that in the last couple of seasons, we've had a pretty rough time around November, December in the league. He wants to try, I think he wanted this time to make sure that that didn't happen again. And so far, so good.
Okay, one of the talking points, I suppose, something a lot of people concentrated on after the Sevilla game was a performance of Philippe Senderos. Now, I, as regular readers and listeners to the Arscast will know, I've always liked Senderos because I sort of identify with him as a centre half, not perhaps blessed with the most pace in the world. And unfortunately, the more bad things happen to him, the more I identify with him, which probably says more about me than about Philippe Senderos. However, there can't really be any denying the fact that he's struggling at the moment, and the Senderos that we're seeing now, compared to the guy that broke into the team and looked incredibly solid and could be a defender that would be in the heart of our defence for years to come, they're two very different players. Have you any sort of theories on what's going on? Is it just a case that he lacks confidence, or are we looking at a situation where maybe he's not good enough?
Well, like you say, I don't think it's a question of not being not good enough. If you look back to the season before last, when Sol Campbell went for a Lucozade at half-time against West Ham and didn't come back, Senderos came in and, in fact, played, if I remember correctly, he played probably about 30 games in that season, where he got a run together, he looked solid. He had the other disadvantage that he didn't have a regular left back alongside him either, because Flamini came in, and he was part of that defence that created a Champions League record when we were on our way to the final. So I don't think there's anything inherently bad about him as a player, but I do think that as a result of just sort of coming in for a game or two, going out, coming in, going out, I think he does lack match practice. It costs him his confidence. I don't think he's one of these guys that's going to come in and play, you know, at 100% when he is only making the occasional appearance. And I don't think he's alone in that. If you look around at the other big sides at the top, if Chelsea, for example, lose Terry, if Manchester United lose Ferdinand, you talk to their supporters, they're really worried about the guys that come in if they're just coming in to do a job for two or three games, because they don't bring the same to the table. And I think Senderos is perhaps suffering unkindly from that. But there's no doubt, no, he's not playing as well as he was a couple of years ago. And is there a future for him? I don't know.
Okay. Would it be a coincidence, perhaps, that his best spell as an Arsenal player came when Martin Keown was involved in the defensive coaching in the club?
It's entirely possible. I must admit that Keown seemed to do a lot of good things in that sort of six-month spell where he was there, that you look at and you wonder, or you certainly wondered last season, were they missing that input? Because it wasn't just Senderos. It was even when William Gallas came back, he and Kolo didn't seem to have that great a partnership. Mm. Although, having said that, of course, the two have got together like a house on fire this season,
certainly, which is
great, and I'm delighted about. But, you know.
Well, let's look ahead then to the Aston Villa game this weekend, and we can look a little bit further ahead to the Newcastle game. It looks like Cesc may be out for about 10 days with a hamstring strain. As I sort of mentioned in the blog, games against Villa, who are going very well, in fairness, they're in sixth place in the league now, and they're only 6 points behind us. But games against Villa and Newcastle and Middlesbrough next weekend are, if you had to choose, those would be the games that you'd miss Cesc for.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. And particularly when you've already had the chance to play Danielson a couple of games in a row. Because if you look at what's there, although we've got an abundance of riches, Danielson really is the natural replacement for Cesc, if you like. He's the one that they're likely to, I would think, turn to and maybe increase a little bit the responsibility that he gives to Rosicki. It will all depend whether he goes into these three games, I think, with a five-man midfield or a four-man midfield. And that may depend on whether Van Persie is fit or not. I read in the Telegraph that there's a chance he may not make Saturday, which is unfortunate. But I think Danielson's the likely replacement for Cesc, the most like-for-like player, if you will.
Speaking of that, the five-man midfield or playing two up front, Eduardo has shown that when he gets in the box, he can finish, and he did so very well against Sevilla with the opening goal. Should perhaps we now think about playing him up front rather than isolating him out on the left-hand side where he doesn't really seem that comfortable?
Yeah, personally, I certainly would, and for exactly the reason that you say. It's not necessarily that he doesn't look so comfortable out there either. It's just that he doesn't do perhaps the work coming back that you expect of the player who's going to be on the left-hand side of a five. Now, whether that's the physical shortcoming that Wenger talks about when he talks about him, I don't know. But I would like to see him have a couple of games. If Van Persie is going to be out, I would like to see him given a couple of games alongside Adebayor in his more traditional role, in the role that he's used to playing for his country. And if you look at his goal-scoring record at international level, it's tremendous.
Certainly is. Newcastle in midweek as well. Any fears about travelling to the northeast?
I would have done this time last year. You'll have noticed as the season's gone on, I've become a lot more bullish about our chances when they've cropped up. I'm quite concerned about the Villa game, but Newcastle, I think we can go there and do a job now. I think that Allardyce has got his problems up there. They only have one way, really, that they can approach the game. And we've shown when we played the likes of Wigan this year and Bolton that we can now cope with what he's likely to throw at us. So I'm quite looking forward to the games at Newcastle and Middlesbrough. I'd be very disappointed if we dropped points in more than one of these three games coming up.
Okay, well, three away games in 8 days. It's a good test for the team. Gunnar Hollick, we better leave it there, but thanks very much. We'll talk to you on another Arscast very soon.
And thank you very much, Blog.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 10 years a decade, 100 years a century, 1,000 years a millennium. This is Spy News on the Hour. every hour.
Good afternoon. This is the main story. The relationship between Liverpool manager Rafa Benitez and the new American owners has deteriorated even further. Reports suggest that Benitez turned up at the home of Tom Hicks last night and bombarded him with question after question after question. Hicks was to say later, "Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition." We'll have more in an hour.
Thank you very much to Mr. Gunnar Hollick for his blog chatting, and we'll talk to him again soon. And now then, before we go on with something else, I wanted to tell you something. But of course, I've completely and utterly forgotten what that is. It was most definitely something, so it was. In direct connection with something else. Maybe some larger part of that. I don't know. It's gone forever. Sorry about that. I may remember before the end. But I probably won't, you see. Still to come, the winner of the Savile Rogue Scarf Competition. Also, an interesting little story of coincidence involved in the competition itself. I'll tell you a little bit about OleOle.com, and Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be along in a short few minutes. But now, though, the man in the bar has got another player history.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another player history. It's nice to see you, nice. Oh, shut that door. Oh, I could crush a grape. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. The flashbacks have started again. Stop. Oh, okay, no, I'm better now. Okay, right. Well, this week we're going to tell you about an Arsenal player that comes from a strange and terrible land where dark things happen on the streets and awful creatures roam every corner. That's right, it's Northern Ireland, and the fella in question is called Steve Morrow. Now, Steve Morrow made his debut for Arsenal in 1992, and he was a bit of a sort of a utility player, a bit like one of those screwdrivers that's a flathead and also a Phillips head. You get me? Anyway, he played in midfield for the most part, and the day that everybody remembers about Steve Morrow is the 1993 Coca-Cola Cup Final. Arsenal were playing Sheffield Wednesday. It was 1-1. Oh, the tension was only mighty. But who cropped up with the winning goal? That's right, Steve Morrow. Oh, it should have been his finest day. He should have been milking the glory and lapping it all up and getting all the lovely women after him. But no, you see, what happened was this. Tony Adams, being the lively, japey sort of a chap that he was, decided for some reason to pick up Steve Morrow. I mean, why would you just go pick somebody up? Could you not just leave them on their feet and give them a pat on the head and say, well done? No, Tony had to pick him up. And Tony, you see, was a bit of a butterfingers, and he dropped him, and he broke his arm. Steve Morrow, that is, not Tony Adams. And poor old Morrow, he couldn't even go up and collect his medal. They had to take him off to Hustable. Oh, Jesus, it was awful. His career went into the bit of a skids then, you see. He ended up at QPR, and things got so bad that he ended up playing Major League Soccer in the United States. Oh, the poor cunt, oh, for fuck's sake. As you can imagine, it made him all a bit bitter, you see. And he took his life savings and he bought a small island, so he did. And on that island, he took an open university course and got a doctorate. And then what he did was he set up a laboratory and he started to conduct these terrible experiments, producing these abominations. They were a cross between animals and humans. There was an elephant boy, there was a panther woman, oh God, there was even a badger girl. Can you imagine? Eventually he was shut down though. The government came after him and they closed down the island of Dr. Morrow. And I know this much is true.
The man in the bar will be back with another player history on next week's Arscast. I've just received an email from Alexandra Hagen, and the subject line is Mouth, Compact Disc, Onion, Torch, Torpedo, Circus and Pepper. And I was looking at it going, should I open that? You know, it's spam anyway. But is there yeah, mouth there? Yeah, I've got a mouth. Compact discs, yeah, they're kind of interesting. Onion, I like onions. Torches are handy. Torpedoes, I would like a torpedo one day. Circus, not too fond of circuses, to be honest. too many clowns, and I am not a fan of clowns, let me tell you. Pepper, I'm a big fan of Pepper, I have to say. So I opened it, and it was selling me watches. Interesting, so would buy this watch, it's really great, not have been a better subject line than, what was it? Mouth compact disc onion torch torpedo circus Pepper. I'm beginning to worry about the spammers of this generation. Spam's not like it used to be. Really isn't. What is coming up? Oh, the winner of the Savile Rogue scarf, the random number generator, and a look ahead to the Aston Villa game and some injury news and all that kind of stuff. But Arsene Wenger Hawkins is here now.
Hello, everyone. It's your old friend Arsene Wenger Hawkins. Sadly, the recent upgrade to my operating system caused a number of serious bugs, so I have had to revert to the old one. The most serious bug was the fact that my foot got infected with blowfly larvae, and as I couldn't feel it, they devoured my left leg, right up to the knee. Doctors have had to amputate, and as an interim measure, they have fitted the lower leg of a mannequin from a shop window. Nothing's gonna stop me now. I read with interest about Michel Platini saying that Arsenal don't have enough English players. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Platini made his name and fortune playing in Italy, and if my geography isn't lying to me, France is not part of Italy. As well as that, what about all the other top French players? Like Henry, Vieira, Makelele, Delay, Ribery, Zidane and Jean-Claude Darcheville. They don't ply their trade in their home country, so Platini should concentrate on getting a decent haircut before drinking a great big glass of shut-up juice. Also this week, I was banned from my local supermarket for 1 week. I have no idea why. I was just asking the girl behind the meat counter if she'd help me with my sausage, and all of a sudden I was being forcibly removed from the premises. Well, the joke's on them. I injected all the baby food with laxatives and MDMA. I suspect there aren't enough lawyers in the world to save them. Can you imagine the poor little mites off their heads and shitting themselves stupid while listening to banging house music? Ha 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 ha. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to eat some baby food. Oh yes.
Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be back on another Arscast in the very near future. Now, Arsene Wenger was talking this week about Carlos Vela, the young Mexican boy who's on loan from us to Spanish side Osasuna. Arsene Wenger says, we scout him every week when he plays. He can apply for a passport in March, and he'll start with us next summer. He'll straight away be with the first team, and after that it's up to him to get a place in the side. So big things are expected of Carlos Vela, the new Hugo Sanchez, they called him in Mexico. And there's quite an interesting interview with him in this month's Arsenal magazine as well. So far, he's taken part in 9 league games. He's started only 3 of those, but he has scored 1 goal and made 2 assists. So we'll keep an eye on him and see what he does for the rest of the season. Top flight football in Spain is going to do him the world of good by the time he arrives to us. And obviously, he's somebody that we're all going to look forward to seeing on the pitch next season. Now, to get a little bit more information about Carlos Vela, I called a journalist in Spain, Carlos Ducados. He's from the Osasuna Sentinel, and this happened a little bit earlier. Carlos, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to Arsblog. Obviously, we're interested in Carlos Vela. How is he getting on in Spain?
Muy bien.
Yeah, he started the season on the bench, but he's now beginning to get a bit of first-team action. He scored his first goal a couple of weeks back. How was that?
Sí, muy bien.
Obviously, there's a world of difference between the Spanish League and the Mexican League in that the football in England is a lot more physical. Do you think he'll be able to cope with the more robust demands of the Premier League?
Sí, muy bien.
And what about the climate? Obviously, that's proved a challenge for other people in the past. José Antonio Reyes, for example, couldn't cope with the difference between England and Sevilla. Will that be a factor for Carlos?
Sí, muy bien.
But you think he should be able to adapt in time? I mean, he's really got the talent, hasn't he? He's a very, very good player.
Sí, estupendo.
Carlos, thank you very much. We better leave it there. It's been tremendously insightful, I have to say. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Muy bien.
You know where to get all the good stuff from now on, don't you? Yeah, exclusive interviews like that only here on Arsblog. We go to depths that others will not go to. in order to bring you the news and the Arsenal stuff. So there. Now, the Savile Rogue Scarf Competition. It's time for the random number generator to do its thing, just about. The question was, who scored the winning goal against Wigan last year at the Grove? And the answer, of course, was Thomas Rosicki. Lots of you entered. So now the random number generator will do its thing. One second. Here. This week, the random number generator has chosen Sean Carroll. So well done to you, Sean. I'll be in touch. I'll drop you an email to get your address, and then I'll pass it on to the guys at Savile Rogue. And thank you very much to Savile Rogue for giving me these scarves to give away as prizes the last few weeks. I'm sure we might be able to wangle one or two more out of them when the winter really sets in. They're good guys, you see. And if you are looking for Christmas presents for somebody, you could do a lot worse. They're really, really nice. I've got mine, and it's around my neck. Not right now, but when I go outside, you see. Now, the scarf competition threw up a little bit of a strange story, a coincidence. Years ago, well, me and Mrs. Bloggs went looking for our first house. We found this really cool little Victorian cottage. We went in, had a look around. Obviously, the people that lived in the house at that time were out of the house. The estate agents take them out. So you got to look around. The estate agent shows you around, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at the wall going, look, that's fucking cool. This guy has got an Arsenal shirt on the wall signed by players. This is fucking awesome. We're definitely going to buy this house. This house is fated for us, I promise you. But that struck a chord with me, and lo and behold, we bought the house. The people that did live there, the guy that did live there, obviously was an Arsenal fan, and he entered the competition on Monday, or last Friday. It was one of the first entries. I'm sorry you didn't win, but I couldn't have told this story, and I did not make you win because of this story, so don't worry about that. But Simon Dry, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, he emailed into the competition, and I sent him an email then going, ha, guess what? Do you remember me? I bought your house. And he said, so you did. Jesus, there's the thing. And that was really the extent of the coincidence. I thought it was quite interesting, though. So there you go. Anyway, he's on a promise for a pint next time he's in Dublin, because we had some good fun in that house over the years, I have to say. Now, looking ahead to the Aston Villa game on Saturday. Injury news, we're still waiting on Cesc. Arsene Wenger says, we're very pessimistic, but he's thinking he has a good chance. He says, we'll make a test tomorrow, but we think he'll be short for Saturday. That said, on the blog, I think if you could miss Cesc for, you know, two or three games, if you had to in the season, these are the kind of games that you would pick to miss him for. Get him back fit and well for Chelsea and make sure he doesn't miss that. As well as that, Gael Clichy and Alexander Hleb are going to have hamstring and thigh tests. Robin van Persie, though, on the main website, it just says Robin van Persie, of course, is still out. But on Football 365, they quote Arsene Wenger as saying, Robin van Persie is out for two or three more weeks, which is a bit of a pain in the arse, I have to say. We were expecting him back a little bit sooner. There was even talk that he might have been back for the Wigan game, and now we're looking at another two or three weeks. But I suppose whatever it takes to get him fully fit again, it's just such a shame with Robin. And if he could stay a whole season fit all season long, he'd destroy the league and scoring records, I think. He's just fantastic, but he gets so unlucky with injuries. And it's not like one niggly thing after another. They've been big things, the metatarsal, the injury with his knee, that if you saw the picture of it, you can only imagine how close he came to being out for a lot longer than he actually has been. And other things, it was broken toes, and, you know, so it's not just a series of niggly little things. He's had some serious injuries. So, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, but it'll be great to have him back sooner rather than later. Matthew Flamini is back as well, so he should go back into the midfield in the absence of Cesc. And it's going to be a difficult game, I think, because Aston Villa will be on a high after a 4-0 win over Blackburn on Wednesday night. Blackburn only had 10 men, but Villa still put four past them. They're now in sixth place. They're level on points with Liverpool and only 6 points behind us, even though they have played a game more. So it's not going to be any kind of a walkover. And then on Wednesday, we've got Newcastle away, the first of two games in the Northeast, Middlesbrough away at the weekend, next weekend. But Newcastle away, Newcastle not doing very well, very poor against Liverpool last weekend. Sam Allardyce under some pressure there, and obviously he'll have his team out to get us, you would imagine, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He'll love to put one over on Arsene Wenger and put it down to his team's spirit. They'll be out to kick us on Wednesday night, absolutely no doubt about that. And it would be lovely, absolutely lovely, to heap a bit more pressure on Big Fat Sam, because he's not the most popular man up there at the moment. And were we, for example, to score a number of goals in reply to their none, that would put him under even more pressure and make his life even more miserable, and nobody could have an argument with that. So that's about it, isn't it? We'll wait and see what happens at the weekend with the injuries and all that kind of stuff. But here's to some points between now and the next time that we speak. I'll see you all next week on the blog. So have yourselves a good weekend. Until next week's Arsecast, goodbye.
Hello, Samaritans. How can I help you?
Hello, yeah. I run an Arsenal blog and not enough people read it.
Well, have you thought about using really provocative headlines to draw people in from sites like News Now?
Yeah, I've done all that. I really haven't. I've even tried putting loads of exclamation marks after my headlines. It's not making any difference.
Have you thought about learning how to read and write, and spell, and, grammar, syntax, those things?
I don't want to do any of that really hard stuff. I just want to make loads of money out of my blog. I think I'm going to kill myself.
Have you thought about hanging? That's probably the most effective and easiest to carry out. Otherwise, you could just run a pipe, from your exhaust in through the window of the car. Or, take a load of pills or if you've got any kind of weapon in the house, you could use that, or you could slit your wrists. Yeah, have you thought about that? You could go drown yourself like that bloke out of Manic Street Preachers. Try that if you want. Do you live anywhere near the Humber Bridge, do you? You could climb up that and jump off it, or any really tall thing, apart from a mountain. You wouldn't really get the same falling as you would a tall building would do. Telecom tower if you're in London, maybe. Try that. Whatever you do, don't let me put you off, yeah? Cheers.